Contact Energy and Meridian Energy are looking to build the world's first large-scale green hydrogen plant in Southland. A report produced for the two companies says a plant is feasible once electricity currently used by Tiwai Point Aluminium Smelter comes free. The smelter has a supply agreement with Meridian through to late 2024. One sceptic, though, is University of Canterbury Professor in Mechanical Engineering, Susan Crumdick. She says producing green hydrogen is a waste of time and money.
If you look at the type of technology that we're talking about, there's a few really killjoy items in here, like the need for platinum to do the hydrogen chemistry, and the fact that that is not the most plentiful element on the planet. And so if you do a bit of math to test out the ideas for hydrogen, you just find that it doesn't stretch very far.
Susan Crumdick says a better use of surplus electricity would be to electrify rail and road transport. Well, Contact's Chief Executive Mike Fuge joins me now for more on this. Good morning.
Marina, how are you, Corin?
Very well. Okay, I mean, I guess the point that she is making is that, what, if you have a 10 or 11% of the capacity of the grid come free, should TY close, that would be perfect, wouldn't it, for the EVs and electrifying our cars?
And the reality is that's exactly what's going to happen. We will end up converting our transport fleet here in New Zealand to EVs over time. But it's not a question of A, B or C. It's usually B, all of the above. And that's why we got the study done, because it's an opportunity, and it was to move it from the realm of theory and hobbyist into the realm of what is actually here. And so we got very credible people together to do a study, and now we're going out to see if the market out there also believes it's credible.
I see they're doing similar things in Australia. So this is technology for people to get their head around it that is currently underway. It's being used.
Yes, of course. Yeah, electrolysing water to produce hydrogen and oxygen is something probably most of us did in school in science class.
You need platinum, though? That was one of the complaints?
Oh, that's for the electrodes. I can't really comment in detail on that. All I know is a study we have done shows that it is feasible. The economics look as though they may stack up. And for that reason, we're going to stage two of a very deliberate and, well, very considered process.
How much of that 10 or 11% of the electricity capacity in the country that supplies TY would be needed for a green hydrogen plant?
Well, obviously the answer to that is how big you build the plant. It could be half, it could be all. But the wonderful thing about this is it allows, potentially gives us impetus to go beyond what is already there, to build new wind farms in Southland where there is a fantastic wind resource, and to stimulate the acceleration of renewable energy projects in this country. That is a real opportunity. It's not just about hydrogen. It's about the acceleration of renewable energy in this country at a pace of knots we haven't seen for a generation.
And in terms of the hydrogen, you would look to eventually export that as a gas at some point, because presumably in New Zealand, I mean, I think buses and some industrial users would use it, but it's not something that you could put in your car as such yet.
No, not yet. Well, there are hydrogen vehicles. Let's not discount that yet for fuel cells, which will be the eventual replacement for lithium batteries, or maybe. But the intent is that if you get an export industry established, which has scale, you can then build a domestic market bit by bit, using it for heavy transport, using it potentially for heat, or using it for green chemicals like green urea, producing urea from green hydrogen.
Mm. Are you in competition in some ways with the Lake Onslow battery project, which is another multi-billion dollar project being scoped out, if you like, by the government? I mean, could you have both, or would, if they went ahead with Lake Onslow, could you do yours?
It's not dependent on Lake Onslow. Lake Onslow is another option around managing dry year risk. And, you know, we're very supportive of that being looked at carefully and in a very considered way, and making sure that we can all see if the economics stack up on that.
The issue there, though, is that obviously they'd be potentially needing government assistance, billions of dollars maybe. I don't know how it would work, but you might also want some assistance from the government. It might not stretch to both.
No, look, our fundamental premise in this is that this, if at all possible, is privately funded, and that the project stands and falls on its own economics. Now, that doesn't mean, because of the scale of the project, that we can necessarily do it as individual companies, it will need a very collaborative New Zealand incorporated approach. But the intent of this is it stands on its own feet as an economic project funded by private investment.
Do you think that the government could, in terms of the consenting process, I guess that the fact that there's already a large-scale plant on the site, that will help to some degree, won't it, in terms of the environmental impacts, but a government might call it in as a project of national significance? Is that the type of thing you'd like to see to help with consenting?
That could help with consenting. I think the thing we like about Southland is that there's a fantastic deep water port there. There is fantastic firmed renewable energy available there. There's a great transmission network. There's a highly skilled workforce. It has a lot of things going for it, which this project would tap into.
What will this do to electricity prices in terms of what you can offer customers, I guess? Does it have any impact there? I mean, because presumably if TY closed and you suddenly had a big surge of supply of electricity, it would push down the spot prices and consumers would actually get cheaper power.
Oh, look, any effect of TY closing will be transitory. What it should do is stimulate the building of new renewable energy projects, which over the long term should stabilise prices at a much better price than we see in today's quite unusual conditions. So the irony is that suppression, that temporary suppression of prices, could actually scare off investors.
Mike Fuge.
Down renewable investment.
Okay, Mike Fuge, thank you very much for that. That's Contact's chief executive there looking at this green hydrogen plan for Southland.